D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen here with you. We are live at the Circa Sportsbook in Kentucky. David James is back at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Let's get to your reaction on Vanderbilt's win against Tennessee, but also Vanderbilt's case to be included in the college football playoff. Justin in Greenbrier on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, Willie said it. Brand bias plays a huge part in all of this. If Vanderbilt had a Longhorn, Big T, blue and yellow stripes on that helmet, or even shiny gold, this is not even a conversation, and they are ranked higher, and they are in. Also, the teams that are no longer ranked are out of it due in part to Vanderbilt beating them and knocking them out of the standings.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's no, you know, they're not trying to hide it when it comes to, you know, this brand bias. Because, again, if this was a 10-2, you know, Alabama team or a 10-2 Texas team with the same resume, it could be the same resume, there would be more of a push to get those teams in. Hell, they would be in, if you ask me. But because Vandy doesn't have that sort of brand that those schools have. And granted, you know, listen, they lost to Alabama and they lost to Texas. But if you watched that game, you knew it was much closer than what the score suggested, at least the Alabama game. The Texas game was close. But I think if that was a T or you know, a Buckeye or an M, you know, Wolverine, whatever that thing is on their head, if it was them, then I think there would, like I said, they would already be in a college football. There wouldn't even be any argument. The argument would be, well, where are they seated in the right. college football playoff? Not, are they going to make it?
Here's another point I want to throw out there. Again, to look closer, this will be the key. Look closer at each game that each team played. Sarkisian made a good argument. I would take a little weight off of their win over Texas A&M. You cannot tell me that Texas A&M at 11-0, sitting there going, we can lose this game 50-0, and we're still going to be in the playoffs. They could have rested guys. I don't think that win at home against Texas A&M carries quite as much weight as it would have if everything was on the line in that game. Here's one other point. These are all just nuanced things that probably all, let's be honest, they all have to go in Vanderbilt's favor for them to really be considered alongside of these teams to overcome the brand bias, which does exist. LSU is 7-5. They're not ranked. LSU at the time was ranked 10th. You know who LSU has lost to this year? On paper, they lost to a 7-5 LSU team. I'm sure somebody in the country somewhere is saying, oh, they beat LSU. LSU's 7-5. Okay. Let's see. You think BYU or Notre Dame could have the record that they have if these are the games they lost? Here are the five losses by LSU: Ole Miss, Texas A&M, Vanderbilt, Alabama, Oklahoma. Those are their five losses. It's not like they lost to some non-conference team in the ACC. It's not like they lost to whatever. You know, they lost to five big dogs. That's why they're 7-5. They're not bad. They were ranked fourth at one point. I mean, that's to me, that's life in the SEC. So that's my SEC snobbery saying right there.
Let's go to Tyler on our phone line who wants to talk to Judge Mason. Tyler, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Yes, fantastic to talk to you, Judge Mason. You're the best judge I've ever heard. I was going to try to make a compelling argument here for Vanderbilt as well. As Willie just mentioned, with LSU, you got great five losses there. But you could say the same for an Auburn team, Judge Mason. Look at how they lost to Alabama. I mean, if they could have caught the football and held on to it, it could have been a lot different than the Iron Bowl this weekend. If that call goes their way against Georgia or Oklahoma, mind you, another bubble team we're up against, right? Well, that's no longer on the bubble for most teams. But yeah.
I have to say, I don't think Oklahoma's on the bubble.
They're
in. They've got to be in.
They shouldn't be, because Willie, I was having trouble falling asleep last night, so I put on their offense and they helped me out there.
I might have to try that.
As you got Vanderbilt, who looks amazing and fun to watch, so completely different there. And 17 of Oklahoma's 23 points came off turnovers against Alabama. So they've been putrid on offense, as again happened against LSU, as you mentioned, Willie. The game they should have probably lost if Van Buren doesn't throw that early interception at the four-yard line and then be able to stick it in there late. But and Vanderbilt's got the Heisman. I mean, we've got to bring that up. Like, how do you leave the Heisman Trophy winner, or should be Heisman Trophy winner, getting ahead of ourselves here, but out of the playoffs? I mean, Vanderbilt's a team that people should want to watch and cheer for. So, Judge Mason, that's my case as well, to go on along with the Willie there.
Thank you for the call, Tyler.
You know, the point about Pavi is an interesting one. I do wonder if that enters – it's really not supposed to, right? But it is entertainment. And so if you're like, oh, we got Notre Dame in there, man. They got the great fans. They got the gold helmets. Well, there is a certain amount of intrigue to watch the most exciting player in college football in the tournament. But yeah. Is that a criteria? It probably shouldn't be, right?
I'm sure it probably is. I mean, somehow, some way, they'll figure it out and try to add it into it.
Could Diego Pavia be the Walter Clayton Jr. of the college football playoff? Remember Florida last season? Of course, Florida went on to win the national championship, but Walter Clayton was ice. He was clutch. And I'm wondering if Diego Pavia could fill that role for the Commodores in the college football playoff. You'll never know what kind of crazy thing he's going to do out there.
Well, and that's why, to me, that team goes as Diego go. Again, Mendoza, if we're talking about the Heisman, Mendoza, I get it. And he's the best player on, many could argue, they're the best team. But Ohio State's number one. We'll find out who's the best team this weekend when they playing the Big Ten championship. But Mendoza, there's not much of an argument. But under that, man, you just can't convince me that the guys that have the potential of going to New York, that they are better players or more important players or the best player on their team than Diego Pavia is. There's no question. He is the best player on his team, and everything runs through him. That's why it's hard to kind of pick him over Mendoza, because I know a lot runs through him, and I believe he's their best player. But I love the Vandy story. I love what they had to fight through, since Clark has got here, and what they have become in the last two seasons. And a lot of it has to do with Diego Pavia. And it's not just his play, it's just the energy that he brings to that campus. Not just the team, but to the campus. So if you're talking about the Heisman, I think he should be right up there with Mendoza. But if you look, the caller made an interesting case, because why is it that with certain teams we count their losses for them, but others they become big red flags? Like, why isn't these close wins against a team like Auburn or LSU or something like that, that's being counted for them, not against them? But you have a close loss, and get it, Vandy had to come back, but you count that close loss against them. You count the Alabama game against them. If you watch the game, there was two plays in that game. That was, at worst, a 14-point swing, which it ended up being. At best, a 6-point swing, 7-point swing, because if they score once and maybe they don't kick a field goal, or they kick a field goal, so a 10-point swing. So, but you count that against Vandy, and you probably watch the game. You're supposed to watch the game. You know that game right there wasn't a 2-score game.
Keegan on our text line says, I haven't been in the Pavia for Heisman basket. Instead, I've been on the Pavia is good enough to get them ranked, but that's about it basket. After Saturday and watching how Pavia responded to the chance of FU Pavia by doubling up UT on its home turf, I now believe that he deserves to not only be in the Heisman race, but the winner, along with Vandy in the college football playoff. Took 12 games, but now I'm a believer. Ben in Cumberland City says, does Pavia's age and extra time in college versus his competition hurt his chances? Most would say he should be out of school by now.
Well, I think that argument probably went out the window a couple of years ago. Like, it's just common now. And there's actually been some dispute. Not dispute. I mean, he's as old as he is. But some misinformation. He was listed at 24 years of age, which I said on the air a couple times. He's actually 23. I think he posted his birth certificate out there to prove that he's 23.
Hey, listen, man.
So he's not. It'd be one thing if he was 25 or something like that, but he's not. He has been in college forever, and he won the lawsuit and everything like that. But he is only 23, so he's
but you
not
should,
that much older.
I don't think that should be counted against him. Hell, Gino, was it? Gino Toretta, not Gino
Chris
Toretta.
Winkie.
Chris Winkie.
Chris Winkie.
He was 105.
He's 28. I played minor league baseball with Chris Winkie before he went back to college.
Exactly.
I was like, wait, that's Chris. I know that guy.
Like,
he was 28.
Man, oh, man.
He won the like Heisman.
So y'all want to count his age against him? Now, I get it, him being a little bit older than some of the individuals, but I'm not going to count that against him. How old is Mendoza? I guess he's not on that old.
Matt from Camden says Jason White was 45 when he
exactly.
won the Heisman Trophy.
Is that true? I don't even.
There was a kid.
Was he older? I don't remember.
It might
that.
Be a slight exaggeration.
But I don't remember if he was older.
Did you hear that? They went down a whole list of Aguilar, what he had been through.
Yeah, he'd been
you
there
know?
Forever.
He had been
the
there
COVID,
for,
where he didn't
and
play.
Then he didn't play for a year. He was doing this. He came back. So, I mean, had UT, I believe, came into this game with one loss, I think Aguilar would have still been in the hunt to win the Heisman. I think he would have, but because that's not
like
the case.
Like if they make the field goal
exactly.
against Georgia,
absolutely.
It could have been a different thing.
Absolutely.
I'm looking to see how old Jason White was when he won the Heisman Trophy.
Well, we know Chris Winkie was
105,
28
yeah.
because he played several years of minor league baseball right out of high school.
Chris Winkie was 28.
Yes.
When
Joe Burrow was 23 when he won.
Jason White was also 23 when he
won. Okay, so Pavia, 23.
It happens.
I don't think that'll be a while.
One texter says Tennessee fans didn't care that Hendon Hooker was 26.
Exactly. They ain't care.
I don't think he was 26. But
also,
Mendoza
is 23 right now as well.
Yeah, Mendoza's 23 too.
Yeah. Okay.
So, there's no difference.
One texter says, Vandy has killed the eye test the last 2 weeks. I know the rankings are for TV, but if they don't re-rack the teams each week, then they are not getting the best teams. Just spit out a ranking week 8 and move them up or down based on who loses in front of them, because that's essentially what they have done. Vandy is playing as good as anyone in the country right now. The committee is just a bunch of old men looking at box scores.
I think that is the intangible here. That's why I say it's key that the committee open their mind and don't just fall back and say, well, last week we went on TV and we said, here's the rankings, and we would look bad if we just change. Vanderbilt does have momentum.
Yes.
I do think that they have, with the Pavia push, the win on Saturday, the way they've been playing, I think that carries some weight.
That's been a big argument in favor of Miami. Miami has won its past four games with like a point differential of like 100. So
right.
that's understood, but I'm just telling you that's an argument that's being made in favor of Miami, that they've been playing well for the past month. They've been blowing out teams.
And so who do they play Saturday? Are they in the ACC championship game?
They are, but you know who is? 7-5 Duke.
7-5 Duke.
Hell yeah.
And Miami will be sitting back and have a good spot on the couch watching that game. Duke, Virginia.
That's a great ACC title game if you ask
and if
me.
Duke wins, they're in.
That sounds like the ACC basketball title.
If Duke wins at 8-5,
that's right.
They're in.
Oh boy,
8-5, but that still wouldn't set a precedent, I don't think.
Hey, if you can get in with 5 losses,
but what I'm saying is that still you're still a division. Now they may have to change it.
Yeah,
they may have to change it after that. But 7-5, if you win 7-5, boy, oh boy, you get in.
Oh man,
and Vandy doesn't. I think I'm going to go up there. I'm going to go see the committee. We're going to have a talk.
Eli says, Pavia is a 17-point difference against the spread every game, better than Lamar Jackson in his Heisman year. One onside kick away from the playoffs. Their offense would boat race Oklahoma. maybe on offense, but Oklahoma has a damn good defense.
Oklahoma has a good defense. Oh, I'm not arguing against Oklahoma. Oklahoma is legit in the playoffs, I think. They're going
to
make it.
Georgia, one of the texters says, Georgia and Oklahoma both struggled to get wins in Knoxville. Vanderbilt went into Neyland and punched the Vols in the mouth. They're a top 10 team. Let them in.
Well, that's part, I think, of the momentum and how it looks very different. Because I honestly think the committee wasn't even paying that close of attention to Vanderbilt. I think they were probably in their mind saying, well, if they finish out 10-2 and they win in Knoxville, then we'll get to them. I think they will look at them. Well, this is maybe wishful thinking for me. But I think they should look at them differently now as opposed to last week or the week before. Because of the weight of that win against Tennessee, especially when you consider Tennessee wanted to spoil Vanderbilt's season.
It's how they beat Tennessee.
They still got smoked.
615-737-1025. We will continue to take your reaction to Vanderbilt's win against Tennessee and the CFP case for the Commodores. The latest rankings will be unveiled tomorrow, I believe, and the actual bracket comes out next week. 615-737-1025. But coming up next, one person in particular hijacked the college football headline, news cycle, whatever, over the weekend. And I know that the two men to my left have some strong feelings on Lane Kiffin. And we will get to that coming up next, 615.
You said it as if he's the villain.
Yes.
He is the villain.
Lane Kiffin.
615-737-1025. We will get to that coming up next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. We are presented by Bax Homeworks. Financing options are available to make your remodel easier than you think with Bax Homeworks. Get a free estimate at baxhomeworks.com.
Some people will look at this and say, okay, it is the best season in the history of the school, the best era in the history of the program, a playoff team with an opportunity to win a national championship. So what does LSU offer in your mind that Ole Miss doesn't?
I don't know all that. It just was something that I prayed on and made a family decision. And maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong. But I think a lot of times, you know, you just go prove things right. And that's what we're going to do when we get there.
That was Lane Kiffin with Marty Smith on ESPN after Lane Kiffin announced that he was leaving Ole Miss and going to LSU. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you at the Circus Sportsbook in Kentucky. Before we get to Lane Kiffin, Tyler on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, has a Vanderbilt comment. Tyler, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to say I look at Vanderbilt as a team that should be in when I compare who they lost to, right? They both lost to Texas, but Vanderbilt was a onside kick away from making that game really interesting. While playing on a neutral field, Oklahoma lost to Texas by 23. So I think that should be an argument used in Vanderbilt's favor, is just the way the game was actually played.
Thank you for the call, Tyler. It's all worth discussing. I am fascinated.
Open your minds. Open your minds, committee.
You gotta open your minds.
Open your minds.
You're going to have to.
They're going to have to.
Yeah.
Was it In Vogue who said, free your mind?
Yeah.
And the rest will follow.
The rest will follow.
That's right.
Be colorblind. Don't be so shallow.
That's right.
Didn't think
the
I would.
The Funky Divas.
Exactly. Oh, man. If you
I bet none if of you thought I would pull an En Vogue reference out of my butt today. But, you know, that's just the. That's
ain't that
just
wrong
the,
with it?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Actually, before we get to Lane Kiffin, our friend Adam in Portland, who actually wants to talk about Lane Kiffin. Adam, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Adam, can you give me my flowers on this, please? Like, I've been saying, Lane loves Lane. Lane don't love anybody else. He don't love any other schools. Like, he just loves Lane, man. So, no, hey, I was born in Mississippi. I got a lot of family down there. And I can tell you, man, they're all sad today. But there's a reason that I live in Tennessee and not Mississippi. It sucks living there. So he's like, it was an opportunity. There's nothing there. It's just brown roads and heat and mosquitoes, and, like, I understand the swamp has something else, but at least you have good food. Like, Mississippi sucks, man, and is from a Mississippian. So I say I understand why Lane left, and that's what his decoder, a fan decoder from Mississippi, will tell you, that him saying, I don't know, we'll figure it out when we get there, man. I don't want to live in Mississippi anymore.
That was the code.
Thank you for the code, Adam.
I don't want to live in Mississippi no more.
Here's my favorite part of the statement that Lane Kiffin posted on social media making the announcement. Quote, I was hoping to complete an historic six-season run with this year's team by leading Ole Miss through the playoffs, capitalizing on the team's incredible success and their commitment to finish strong, and investing everything into a playoff run with guardrails in place to protect the program in any areas of concern. My request to do so was denied by Keith Carter, despite the team also asking him to allow me to keep coaching them so that they could better maintain their high level of performance. Can anybody find the world's smallest violin for Lane Kiffin?
Listen,
I saw that and I rolled my eyes when I read that.
Lane, you were the distraction. How can you guardrail them from yourself? You can't guardrail your team from you, Lane. The way he answered the question, you know, why did he, and he said, I don't know. Like, there wasn't, like, you can't give us something, like, the smallest thing to say, this is why I chose to, you know, go to LSU rather than stay at Ole Miss. You couldn't say, I wanted another challenge, or I felt, you know, my time here had come to an end. It's, you know, I'm on another journey and try to, you know, win another championship or send another team to another championship. He could have said so many other things instead of saying, I don't know. And it's great that he, and I'm not making light of him praying. I'm not. Do what you do. I'm not making light of that. But if this is a big decision, and when you tend to make, like, people ask me, well, why did you choose to go from Baltimore to instead of New England? I had an answer for him. It was like, okay, this is what the answer is. I felt that my family, my kids, they would have a better growing up, in a sense, like schools and everything else, they're in Baltimore than they probably would have had. The diversity was better in Baltimore than it would have been in New England. You know, those were the reasons why I chose. And Baltimore was a good team. They still was a good team. So when you asked me that, that was one of my reasons. I gave you three of them. Now, there could have been more, and I'm sure I – think back on it, yeah, there are more, but I was able to give you reasons, like, you decided to go to Baltimore instead of New England. Why? This is the reason why. You may not agree with it, but he came up and said, I don't know. You don't know? You could have just said it was the money, but that probably wasn't the case. The money probably would. Lane, you wanted to do it because that's what you wanted to do, Lane. That is it.
The interview
he wanted to leave and go to LSU because maybe Adam's right. He didn't like to live in Oxford.
He lived there for 6 years.
Yeah, he got tired of it. I don't know.
See, you probably wouldn't want to say that if that's really the case.
Oh, of course you wouldn't want to say that, yeah.
There was a great video taken from the airstrip of people booing Lane Kiffin
and
screaming obscenities at him as he was boarding the Lear jet to fly to Baton Rouge, which I got a kick out of. But go ahead, Willie.
That interview with Marty Smith was a pretty good interview. I think Marty Smith asked the right questions. He wasn't a jerk or anything. He wasn't like throwing the microphone in his face or anything. But he asked, I think, the questions that people wanted to know, but it sort of exposed Lane Kiffin for who he is. And the thing that I can't get around is, and this is just how I see the world, Lane Kiffin was a coach at Florida Atlantic, right, when Ole Miss gave him the job. They pulled him up. Mm-hmm. He's done great there. I just think, and especially in the situation they're in right now, I would have so much trouble turning my back on the players that I had assembled for a special, special season. The most special season that Ole Miss has had in decades, 50 or 60 years, probably, right? Mm-hmm. And he would do that, and there wouldn't be any inkling in his mind, like, maybe let me just stick it out a couple more years. And this, if I'm good, I'll come back around again, and there will be other good jobs. Like, why is LSU the end-all, be-all that he's got to screw this team over, which is what he did. He has screwed his players over to go take a job that is a circus. LSU is a total circus. The governor's involved. The AD is fired. What is – they're paying $54 million to their coach.
He want to be a part of the
circus.
And
that's where Lane Kiffin is quick to want to go. If he fails – fails. If he – you don't have to fail. If you just don't do well down there, they'll run him out of town there too. He'll be going somewhere else.
And LSU fans, it can and probably will happen to you because Lane Kiffin is that partner – who constantly cheats on his partner, and you know about it. You know when you're getting in a relationship with Lane Kiffin, he's got wandering eyes, and you think, it'll be different this time. It won't happen to me. He's gotten it out of his system. He's a changed man. It'll happen to you, LSU fan. So enjoy it now. This is going to happen to you.
But it's not even, to me, it's, and I understand, you know, wanting to stay there. I'm not faulting Lane for, you know, taking the job. Because, listen, obviously he took the LSU job because he felt, at least I would just assume one of the reasons, he felt that it was a bigger brand. He felt that, you know, the pocketbooks was going to be a lot deeper in LSU. Football just means something different. You're talking about a program that has won national championships. So they're going to do whatever it takes. Not to say that Ole Miss wasn't, but they're going to give him every resource he possibly needs to make sure that team is successful. So if he wanted to, like, if you want to leave and for that, okay, fine. My whole thing was this back and forth, like, just up front, just say, hey, listen, fellas, I'm taking the job, and, you know, they're not going to let me coach. I just want y'all to know this. I am going to take the job, get it over with early, even before the Egg Bowl. Get it over with early, and then let somebody else coach the Egg Bowl. Let somebody else, because what happens now is the committee looks at that and say, man, I would have loved to see them play a game without Lane Kiffin, and now I won't see them play a game without Lane Kiffin. So that may affect them in the rankings. They're still going to make the college football playoffs. But
yeah, I wonder if their
seed
would be affected. That's
absolutely.
I
would have loved to see that team. That's why one of the reasons I think Florida State didn't make it. Because they saw Florida State. Exactly.
Yeah.
They saw Florida State after the quarterback was hurt. And they didn't look good. So that's why I fought Lane. He's talking about, well, it affects the kids. No, Lane, had you left before the Egg Bowl, then the committee would have been able to see Ole Miss go out and dominate, and it would have been no question on how good this team are. But you've put it in the committee's head now that, oh, my goodness, now we don't know really what Ole Miss is going to look like now that they have a new coach. So I do blame that on Lane Kiffin.
I just cannot, as a leader of a team, this is maybe Coach Willie coming out of me, or just a guy that's been on teams, right? Mm-hmm. The team is everything. How could you walk out on your team that is having that special of a season?
No, you're right.
There's two things you do. A, you say, you know what? Life will go on if I don't take this job. I'm making good money. I'll be up. This could come up again next year, 2 years from now, and maybe a different move. But he can't help himself. The other thing he could have done is said, hey, LSU, you want me? I'll talk to you when Ole Miss's season is over. If I'm your guy, you can wait.
But you know
and
they
if,
ain't waiting.
If not, okay,
you know
then fine.
Waiting.
Then I got to move on. Then I got to stay. I am staying with my team to try to win a national championship. I thought that's why you played, to try to win a national championship. They're going to be in the playoffs. You got a chance to win the national championship. I don't know if they would or not. But they could have a great moment or two that would be really special. But no. He's got to go take the LSU job. Man, is he ever going to be a villain?
As one texter says, how much nicer is Baton Rouge than Oxford? Marginal. 615-737-1025. I've actually never been to either place, so
I've been to
can't
both.
Comment.
I've been to both.
And your thoughts quickly?
I kind of agree with that.
615-737-1025. We will switch gears we will get to grudgingly. We will get to the Tennessee Titans, who lost 25-3 to the Jaguars yesterday. Teron Davenport will join us coming up next to break down yet another Titans. Lost 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Pleased to be joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by ESPN, NFL Nation, Titans reporter Teron Davenport, who is presented by Bart Durham Injury Law and fueled by Parman Energy. Hi, TD. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, man? Appreciate you guys having me. And, man, that cream, that intro music, every superhero got to have some.
David Janes knows how to set the mood for Teron Davenport. So, Teron, this time last week, we were all feeling a little bit encouraged by what we were seeing from the Titans and Cam Ward, and then yesterday happened. So let me ask you this question as bluntly as I can. What the hell happened yesterday in this 25-3 loss to Jacksonville?
They faced a team that was just simply better than them. And it was bad, man, watching that. So many things went wrong on so many levels, and it was a really good example of uncomplimentary football.
First time I heard that one.
Yes, uncomfortable. Now, Teron, last week, analytically, you could certainly make the case that Cam Ward had his best performance of his rookie season. You could make the case that yesterday was the worst performance of his young rookie season. A paltry 3.7 yards per attempt. He had the worst EPA per dropback of the season. And I know that progress isn't linear. There are going to be ups and downs. But were you surprised by how much of a dip Cam Ward took this week compared to how well he played a week ago?
I was surprised by how much of a dip. But then again, if you go back and you watch, man, Josh Hines Allen, ooh-wee.
Wow. Mm-hmm. He's a monster. Davidson
County Police. Hey, look, man, Davidson County Police better go get him, because he had multiple assault charges on his head after what he did to that offensive line, man. He was killing those tackles, killing them. And I think, you know, that was a major contributor to just the way things went. I mean, because there wasn't time to set up, and Cam was always on the move, and it was just the process was rushed. It was bad.
By the way, before Derek gets to Teron, we should just mention, if you thought what happened yesterday with Josh Hines Allen is bad, guess who the Titans are seeing on Sunday? Miles Garrett. So ooh. If you thought it was bad yesterday, wait till next Sunday. Derek?
TD, that game, you know, it looked as if, and I'm not saying that this is what happened, but it looked as if that team quit. It looked as if they had just gotten out of the bed. Like they had no interest in playing in that football game. It looked like they had no interest in coaching that football game. Even listening to, you know, McCoy going into halftime, there was no energy. And I get it, you're down, but there was no energy. It seemed like no life, no fight. Has he completely lost the locker room now, in your mind?
I don't know that he ever had it, right? Because look, man, these guys, they're not stupid. They know what it is, right? They know that, hey, look, this guy's not going to be around at the end of this year. You know, and it's just one of those things where guys know that it's just really just buying the time. So it's basically like how a class is to a substitute teacher. You know what I mean? So I don't think you could lose what you never had, to be honest with you.
But it was as a alumni of the team, that's the first time that I felt that they didn't show up to play. Like nobody, nobody on the sidelines, nobody in the game. I was embarrassed, because there's one thing to just not be good. Like, and the Titans know they're not a good team right now. And I understand that. And I believe they will eventually get it right. But to look like a team that has no clue on what to do or don't want to be out there, that was the part that was disappointing. I'm not disappointed that they lost, because I was hoping that they won. But watching this team, listen, they just don't have the talent necessarily to win games consistently. But you do have the effort to go out there and play it at a certain level. And I just think they didn't do that, nor did they coach that way.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And here's a good example, right? Corey Levin was blocking his behind off, man. Corey Levin appreciation comment right here. He was blocking his behind off in that first series, right? And Tony Pollard broke off some really good runs. He had 36 yards. They had 70 yards on that first drive, the 10-play drive. You know how many yards they had to end the game? 188. So it's just like, why get away from the run when it's working for you? And when you have a day like that, was a day. Matter of fact, Randy Jordan, you know how I catch the intros, like the walk-ins when the guys come in from, you know, the parking lot. He said to me, he said, man, can we run the ball down their throat today? And I was like, that's more of a question for you than me. You know what I mean? And they did it the first series, and that just got completely away from it. And that's an example of the coaching being bad. You don't go away from what's working.
Now, Jeffrey Simmons, obviously, he was heated after the game. And listen, I heard what he said, and I get it. But that's not even what I want to talk about. I want to talk about his comments he made as far as the next head coach. What did you make of them? And how loud do you think that rang throughout the organization?
I think that rang really loud, because when you have a guy saying that right now, and it wasn't necessarily that they need somebody that's going to leave. It was the part where he said the culture's been really bad around here. That was the one that I hung on to. I mean, he's not lying, but, you know, when you're saying that, it has a lot of weight, you know, coming from your franchise guy. You know, he's the face of the franchise for now until Cam Ward takes over. And for that to be said, you know, and then on top of that, you know, I will say he did table it, you know, by saying, hey, we still got 5 games left, and we'll get to that when the time comes. But you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. He said it.
Teron Davenport is with us. Teron, I was toying with the idea a couple weeks ago that maybe you bring in a coach, and if Denard Wilson was making progress with the defense, I was wondering, would they consider keeping him? Do you think there's any chance of that happening, or is everybody gone?
I think there's a chance of that happening. I believe so, because, you know, when you look at what he's doing, I mean, like, the guy's, he's making lemonade out of some lemons. You know what I mean? And it's not the best lemonade, but it's still something that you could drink, you know? And I think when you look at everything going on, how that cornerback situation, I mean, think about the cornerback situation, man. Think about it. They signed Kyrie Elam off the street, and this dude was suiting up and taking snaps 4 days later. And mind you, that includes the Thanksgiving break. You know what I mean? Well, small break, but it's just, yeah, I think there's a chance. If you ask me what coach has the best chance to stay, is John Fossil. But still, it's a tough situation all around for that coaching staff. I would hate to be, you know, a part of that staff, because it's just like, you know what it is, and you're trying, but you know that you're not working with much, and, boy, it's tough.
How do you think they match up with the Browns? You know, somebody's got to win, right? These are two teams that have struggled to win. I haven't even peeked at the early line. If you guys have an early point spread on that, we'll get that in a second. But, Teron, what, just off the top of your head, how do you see the matchup?
Well, you got to remember, the Browns got a defense now.
Yes, they do.
They got a defense, and they got that guy, Myles Garrett. You know, they got him, and when you have that, you got everything. So I don't think the Titans match up well with them at all, because you look at this team, right, and you look at the defense. You know, it's solid, but the offense is they're last in the league in multiple categories. And you're going against one of the better defenses. That, to me, is always going to be an advantage to the team with the defense. So I don't think they match up with the Browns, frankly.
The line, by the way, is Cleveland -4.5.
Whoa. Okay. Teron, full confession. I was watching the game last night, the Sunday night game. It's a good game. I'm thinking, hey, Marcus Mariota's playing pretty well. Close game. The Broncos, if you like drama, watch the Broncos every week. Every one of their games goes down to the last second. But Teron, here's my confession. I had no idea Jalen Burks was playing for Washington, and then he makes an unbelievable catch like that. What the heck? I jumped out of my seat.
Look, man, he made that catch. You know what I was saying? I was like, Jalen, get up. Pop up. Because that's all I'm thinking. You know what we're used to, right? We see that. We go, oh, damn, he's out for 3 weeks. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's what we're used to. So, it was a great catch, man. Jalen, he's a very talented player. Like, there's no doubt in that, but it's just the dedication and staying on the field injury-wise. That's not even dedication. It's the mindset, you know?
Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, has been our guest on D-Maze, Ving, and the Donnie. He joins us every Monday, and he is presented by Bart Durham Injury Law and fueled by Parman Energy. TD, great stuff as always, my friend. We'll catch up next week.
Hey, no problem. You got it. Hey, Willie, man, get your team, man. Every time they talk about signing a free agent, a big one, a big contract, I get a notification that they took another payment for my tickets, man. Get your team, man.
All right, we're going to talk, Teron. We'll have to talk. We'll process.
All right. Thank you, Teron.
Here's the stat. Mike Tirico, I kind of knew this. Mm-hmm. So the Broncos have won 9 straight games.
Yes.
They have trailed at one point in every single one of them. That so many of them go down to the last kick or the last play like last night where the guy's wide open, they're going to win the game. And Benito, who every time they say Nick Benito, I think of Nick Benino, the former Predator.
Of course.
But he knocks the pass down, and they survive again. So they're 10-2, and they also had the game early in the season against the Colts where they had won the game.
Yeah.
They had won the game, and there was a penalty and gave the Colts a second kick.
Yes.
I can't remember, what was it? Did they rough the snapper or like they
– Something along
those lines.
Leverage
or something like that. They got another
– I think it was leverage. I'm pretty sure it was
so
leverage.
They could have won that game.
Wes in Hermitage on our text line says, watching Mariota throw that beautiful touchdown to Burks on primetime was the dagger in my two-tone heart. I give up after that. This team is cursed.
Yeah, that was when we said it couldn't hit rock bottom. They hit it twice, okay?
Traylon Burks' first touchdown in 3 years?
Oh, man, yeah.
Second career touchdown.
Yeah. Right, because people often do this. He had the one touchdown catch in Philadelphia. He got hurt on the play. He got knocked out of the game. I believe his other touchdown was a fumble recovery it was a Derrick Henry fumble recovery in the end zone, if I am not mistaken. So just his second career touchdown catch, and he was Odell Beckham Jr.-esque reaching back one-handed and grabbing that.
It would happen to the Titans. The day they play their worst game is the day Trayvon catches a one-hand touchdown.
But I want to unpack a comment that Derek made with Teron Davenport coming up next about the Titans. 615-737-1025. We will take your thoughts on the Titans. Good news, tankathon.com still looking pretty damn good for the Tennessee Titans.
J-E-T-S. Jets,
And speaking of former Titans, who hit the game-winning walk-off field goal?
Nick Folk
from 56.
But he has no leg.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, and we'll discuss the game. Coming up next, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vinkin, 1025 The Game.